Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. Now, for this one, I'm going back to an old topic, which I used to talk about a lot. And if people feel uneasy, this is actually a very important one. And this is the science of the next pandemic. Now, it might be uppermost in your minds, because you're sick of the previous pandemic and you don't want to hear about it. But us scientists are watching out for this the whole time. We'd be foolish not to get ready for the next one. And surely to have learnt from the previous one in terms of making sure that the next time it isn't quite so bad and avoid the dreaded lockdown, say. And secondly, protect people who might be vulnerable to the next pandemic. So it's a very, very important and active area of research. And the hope is, I'm sure you're hoping that our governments are trying to anticipate the next pandemic such that we don't end up in the way we did with COVID-19. So it's a very interesting topic. A lot of research is going on into it at the moment, as I'll explain towards the end, how much activity there is. And it's in the news lately because they've asked 187 experts, like absolute experts on pandemics, what their opinion is on this. And 57% have said there will be a pandemic, but it'll involve flu. So it won't be a coronavirus. And as you may remember, it was a coronavirus that caused COVID-19. 15% said it might be a COVID-19 variant, though. In other words, COVID-19 is still there. It's mutating. Is it going to mutate into a really nasty one? And we end up with SARS-CoV-4 or whatever. That 15% said there was a chance of that. The reason why there's a lower chance of that is it isn't mutating as fast as flu. So that it's like rolling the dice, really, you know. So that's less evident in COVID, in coronaviruses, than flu. And secondly, we do have immunity now to COVID-19, of course. And that should protect us anyway, to some extent anyway, against a new one that comes along. But flu is different because flu is constantly evolving and changing. Every winter, a new flu crops up and a new vaccine is made against that variant. So we know it's a very labile virus, as we call it. And the concern is, among 57% of experts, that the next pandemic will be an influenza pandemic caused by a flu virus. And another reason they're saying this, and the World Health Organization have just issued a statement on this, there is a variant called H5N1. And these flu viruses come in different flavors with H and N. H and N are surface proteins on the surface of the virus, and they're the things that stick into your cells to infect you. And they number them. And if you have H number 5 and N number 1, that's the variant that we're looking at now. And the reason why that is in the news is it's in birds. And very often these flu viruses love birds, they live in birds. That wiped out millions of birds in the last couple of years. In case you haven't heard, there was a huge pandemic in the bird population caused by an H5N1 variant. And even, you know, at Christmas time, there was fears about the turkeys all getting infected and they weren't let outdoors in case they picked it up. You may not be aware of this, but it was in the news if you're into viruses like my lab would be. We saw that being reported. But this one, H5N1, it's just been found in cattle in 12 US states. Now, why is that a concern? Well, it turns out these HN viruses, these flu viruses, they live in poultry, but they also live in pigs. So they like to live in those two species. Whatever their structure is, they can infect poultry and pigs quite easily. So seeing it in pigs wouldn't be that big a deal. But the fact it's in cattle is a concern, because cattle are very different to pigs and birds, and yet a H5N1 has jumped into cattle. And it's been found in cattle in 12 different US states. Now, could that mean it'll jump into humans? And rather worryingly, again, they found a couple of examples in humans, but it's more the cattle end of things that's worrying people. They also think that it could have been cattle-to-cattle transmission. That's the next worry, because if it jumps from, say, a bird into a cow, that's one thing. But if it's going between cattle, then it's spreading among the one species, and that's the worry. And then, of course, the fear would be it'll jump into humans, and then we get to human transmission, and that's what they're looking very, very closely at. Because if a brand new virus, a bit like COVID, ends up in humans and it's changed a bit from the one that when it was in the bird, for instance, but now it can spread between humans, then you get a new pandemic kicking off, because we've no immunity really to this new variant. And so therefore they're watching this very, very closely. And of course it's hard to predict the chances of this. But if it does happen, you get a high mortality rate initially because you've no immunity to it. Eventually, immunity builds up, of course, over time, and the ones who survive have a built-in resistance, mainly based on genetics. But at the moment, if it does jump in, there will be a high mortality because we wouldn't have any resistance to it. And of course, we've all forgotten about things like washing our hands and wearing masks and all those things. And in the pandemic, as you may remember, flu went away a fair bit because we were washing our hands and wearing masks. That was a positive to that behavioural change. But at the moment, we're not doing that. So again, they're now, the WHO is saying, well, look, we need to be careful and keep a very, very close eye on that. The good news is, if it did jump into humans, say, for example, H5N1 is in a bird initially, it mutates and now is able to latch onto humans and now begin to spread in humans, maybe through cattle, who knows, we can get a vaccine pretty quickly because of what the COVID pandemic taught us. You can make RNA-based vaccines now within 2, 3, 4, or 5 months. And that's one real benefit from what we learned in the COVID-19 pandemic is the capacity to make vaccines quickly. So they're preparing for this already. And there's even a suggestion in the US that they should start making the H5N1 vaccine now, just in case it does begin to spread within humans. And who knows, they may well do that. But that's an important aspect to this. So getting a vaccine should be relatively quick. And then the other thing they've noticed is it's in these cattle and it has infected a couple of dairy farmers. Now, in Texas. Now, the question is, has it jumped from the cattle into the dairy farmer? Or did the dairy farmer pick it up off a bird anyway? The fact that it's in cattle and he's a dairy farmer would suggest it's jumped from a cow into a human. But that isn't as big a worry as if we begin to see human-to-human transmission. And because that might be happening within cattle, it could start to happen in the human. There's no evidence for that yet, but it's something they're looking at very, very closely. What they've also noticed is it is spread from state to state in cattle, and that they do move cattle around the states a lot, it turns out. They'll put them in trucks, I presume, and bring them from one state to another, and that maybe one cattle, a cow was infected and then went to a different state and then infected another cow in that state. And if that's the case, that's evidence of cow to cow transmission, and that's the big thing to watch out for here. And again, as I said, if that happens in humans, then we're in a bit of a bother there. Now, what's the answer to this? Well, we're clever enough, hopefully, as a species to learn what to do, and especially from what we learned from COVID-19. And first and foremost is surveillance. Now, they're watching this, obviously, in the US, and they're measuring samples from cattle. They're measuring samples from dairy farmers, hence they found it in the dairy farmer. They're sequencing the virus to see if it's changed, just to keep a very close eye on this. If there's any hint at all of the H5N1 changing, and now infecting humans and causing the humans to get very sick with it, and then not only that, but spreading between humans, they should get that information very quickly, just based on surveillance. Now, the question is, what will happen if they get evidence for that? Get going on the vaccine quick. Secondly, adopt, sadly, some of these measures about mask wearing and hand washing and so on to stop the spread of it will be important too. And these measures might be introduced, you never know. But if we can act quickly enough, there wouldn't be any need for a global lockdown, which is the very thing we're trying to avoid. And then what's very nice, if you're in this business, is the White House has just announced a new global health security strategy to do with the risk of new pandemics. And they're working with 50 countries now. And I tried to get the list of countries and I couldn't get it. I'm not sure if Ireland is on the list. It'd be great if we were. If we were, because those countries now are in communication with the US, and the US is advising them. And again, this is the surveillance business. And again, testing and trying to find it, and the viral genome sequencing and all that kind of thing is being coordinated through the Global Health Security Strategy, which is great. April 16th, that was announced just very recently. And then secondly, the World Bank has set up a pandemic fund. They're putting money into this fund. They've got $1.9 billion so far. That sounds like a lot of money, right? But you know what? The pandemic cost the world economy trillions. So it's money well spent. And that $1.9 billion is to help all this along. But the experts are asking for $10 billion a year to fund this properly. And that will all be about building capacity, surveillance, detection, all those various things. And to begin the process towards a vaccine should a H5N1 appear that's now jumping into humans and spreading between humans. So they need more investment than that. And they're lobbying for this, of course. If the evidence continues that there is this virus in cattle, and if there's any evidence at all of human to human transmission, that fund will definitely be go through the roof, hopefully, because we're terrible as a species. We only respond to the immediate threat. But again, they're pressing for getting this going now. because if 57% of experts say the next pandemic will be a flu virus, and if the H5N1 is creeping in that direction, we'd be very unwise not to jump on this and monitor it and put it out very, very quickly. And of course, overall, therefore, I would say the following, that thankfully the US administration is all over this, hopefully. The EU will be the same, I bet. I'm going to find out what the EU are doing at the moment. And Ireland ourselves, there is a group, of course, in the Department of Health trying to look at these kinds of things. We should be able to act quickly should a new pandemic begin to emerge. And as I say, avoid what happened the last time is the trick to learn from the past. And there's no reason why we can't do that. It just takes commitment. It takes money, of course, to fund this. And then if people get behind it, we should be able to forestall the next pandemic. And that has to be the ultimate goal, doesn't it? That if we get any hint of it happening, we should jump on it immediately and stop it happening and not go through what we went through with COVID-19. And the last thing to say is we have the technology. We can sequence the virus very quickly and find out about it. We can take samples, you know, and monitor it. And then secondly, we can get going on a vaccine very quickly as well. And that's all in the future, hopefully. And let's hope speed, it will be of the essence should this begin to happen. So that's the science of the next pandemic. And let's hope it doesn't happen. That's our big aspiration. And of course, as ever, we can use science to give us hope that we'll stop the next pandemic in its tracks before it emerges. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download every Thursday.